Welcome back to A Child of Rondo. This week, we revisit the episode with Charles Stegman and Rachel Stegman.
The violin and viola boot camp is for motivated players age 9 and up who want to level up their technique on the instrument and raise their playing levels quickly. The camp has 4-week-long sessions that are held at Duquesne as well as online. Just like it sounds, you'll do heavy amounts of scales, technical daily masterclasses with Charles and Rachel Stegman. Founded in 2012 by Charles and Rachel, the Violin Bootcamp has transformed the careers of hundreds of musicians. Visit our website at fiddlers2inc.com and see what everyone's loving about the Violin Bootcamp.
Today on A Child of Rondo, we're talking about sight reading. And I have just the right people to help us out. Charles and Rachel Stegman are the concertmaster team in the Benedum Orchestra. Welcome, music lovers. This is A Child of Rondo, a podcast of ideas and stories all about music. My name is Paula Tuttle. I'm a cellist, creator of Chamber Sight, producer of concerts, and this podcast. We'll explore behind the scenes the professional life in music, but the podcast is for anyone curious about music and musicians' careers. Sight reading is a different skill set. Most teachers tell us practice reading with a metronome, or better yet, a partner or other musicians. To get to a champion level, you can try a method I learned from Joseph Silverstein, concertmaster of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Have someone move a piece of paper over the music so you can't see the bar you're playing. And you have to look ahead. Then make it 2 bars, then 3, until you can do it as a whole line. Getting more and more under the paper makes you champion worthy. There are computer apps for sight reading now. Sight Reading Factory, Notes, and others. But it's easy enough to make your own game by putting a metronome on and making yourself stick to it. One psychologist invented a test that wasn't intended to be for musicians, but employs a metronome and doing math. The purpose of the test was to see if people got better at it over time. And you guessed it, they did. By doing something deliberately, it becomes second nature. So why don't you try this yourself? Set the metronome at 60 and then add numbers you wrote on pieces of paper like little flashcards and turn them over every 5 seconds and just keep adding. How far can you go? The psychologist who made this test was Danny Kahneman, and part of his life work was separating our activities into two systems. He actually names them System 1 and System 2. Think of System 1 as being all the things that are hardwired, like a concerto that you can play in your sleep. Think of System 2 as sight reading. Being fully alert is the only way System 2 functions at a high level. So make your own analogies, but this could tell us that we should start sight reading practice in short sessions. Eventually, the task of sight reading moves into the same system that plays memorized concerti, meaning becomes second nature. I'm going into the Benedum today to play Swan Lake, and I've asked concertmaster Charles Stegman and associate concertmaster Rachel Stegman to talk about sight reading. I think of them as two really exceptional sight readers. Rachel worked in the recording industry in Los Angeles on more than 500 movies and 300 records, a place where her sight reading was her bread and butter. Charles reads like the devil, too. While sitting in concertmaster mode, he's played some of the most difficult violin solos written for ballet, including the two he's playing today in Swan Lake. We're backstage at the Benedum, right outside of the pit doors. I'm talking to our concertmaster, Charles Stegman, and Rachel Stegman, the assistant concertmaster. Right now, Charles is warming up for his huge solo called The Black Swan. So we'll start with you, Rachel. Rachel, thanks for being here. What can you tell us about sight reading? Why don't we start at the beginning? What is sight reading?
Well, sight reading basically means when you look at music you've not seen before and read it in real time. So with the correct notes and rhythms, dynamics, markings, etc.
So when is sight reading a big part of a musician's life? When have you done a lot of sight reading?
For me, sight reading, I did a lot of it in Los Angeles in the movie studios. So I got a lot of practice there because they actually don't give you any music ahead of time. So even if you're a good sight reader before, you're going to be a better sight reader after that. And I really love sight reading. And I mean, the best way to do it, the best way to improve it is to just practice doing it. Hopefully not on your jobs, though. But basically, it's just a matter of kind of taking in all that information and putting it into live action.
Rachel, you and Charles both teach at Duquesne, and you have what you call your violin boot camp. So you must have the subject of sight reading come up in some of these places. Let's talk about what you would tell students about a practical way to approach sight reading.
So I say go for the rhythm first, noticing the time signatures and all that. And then coming next is notes. So key signatures, all that music theory, putting it to good use, that'd be the second priority. And then also just kind of consider what tempo are you going to take. If something's allegro and you're sight reading it and you have a choice, like at an audition you'd have a choice about what tempo to take, don't take too fast of a tempo, get yourself in trouble, but try to go all the way through from beginning to end without stopping.
So agreed, it's not a good idea to sight read on the job, but sometimes that is the job. When you were at the movies, you were sight reading all the time. So what are the highest stakes sight reading situations you've ever been in?
Probably at the Pittsburgh Symphony, The Rite of Spring, which I've never played before. I kind of got caught with my pants down on a day where there was a conductor audition. That was scary, like even more scary than some of the movies I've sight read on purpose, because you're supposed to know the music already. And it was just one of those times where I just hadn't gotten the music, you know, or not noticed what was on the, you know, in the folder. So shame on me.
So how'd it go?
It actually went well. I just kind of leaned on my partners there. And so it kind of gelled.
I think at this very minute, Rachel and I are being called into the pit. So we had a great interview. Rachel, thanks so much. And we'll be back in the next intermission with Charles Stegman. I wanted to wait until Charles was done playing that amazing solo called The Black Swan in the third act of Swan Lake. So now, Charles, let's get right to it. Let's talk about sight reading. What can you tell me?
So, sight reading for me, what I always do is try to get as much non-note related information in my head as quickly as I can. So you want to look if there's a composer or a movement title or, you know, at least a time signature. And then I try to see what we're in for. So if it's like a lot of bizarre pulses, then you're in for a time. But take a few minutes before, especially if it's in an audition. Just go ahead and give yourself some time. Then after that, I really look at dynamics and articulation because usually it's a conductor that's going to judge you. And yeah, pitch is important, but most of them are not violinists. They're mostly pianists, and they don't really hear pitch the way we do. So I'm more concerned about just getting the rhythm and the style across as much as possible. And then look to see where the ledger lines are, and if there's 412 of them, you know, make sure you know your C from your E from your B, you know. And that's we did that as flashcards as kid.
Right. I wanted to talk to you about other tools and books that you used when you were a kid. When you were a kid, I imagine you were probably at Curtis.
So there's a wonderful book written by Paul Hindemith that's, you know, sort of a primer on rhythm. And if you can read all that, and that's what we had at school at Curtis. So that helped tremendously later. And that's how I sight read. So I've learned how to learn quickly that way. But if it's in an audition, you know, you better pray you've played it before. And that can be a huge advantage.
Well, that's some really great insight, Charles. Here's one. When you're sight reading, do you think it's better to lean in?
I always lean in. But then I never auditioned for section either.
So, you know, in a concert master, they're looking for somebody who's just going to take it to the wall. And if they're making a mistake, if it's forte, it's going to be one hell of a mistake. So I tend to lean into just about everything. Just because it's actually safer. You know, if you start to, you know, step lightly and gingerly, you're going to make more mistakes than just, you know, looking at the dynamic and just playing whatever's there. Now, if it's a pianissimo, then I'm going to lean into it intellectually, but not with the bow. You know.
So you go into sight reading, you're swinging at the fences, and there's an aspect of luck, isn't there? Especially in an audition?
I've been fortunate. Most of the sight reading that I had to do in auditions, I'd played before, and so had a little bit. And I lucked out. Kansas City, they asked for Matisse de Mahler, Last Page, which is just a brutal violin part, but I'd played it the week before. So I lucked out. I'm pretty sure that's why I survived that one. And I'd practiced it hard.
One of the reasons I thought of you when I was doing this podcast about sight reading is that years ago you told me that sight reading was one of your main tools for learning a piece, that you would learn a piece away from the instrument, just reading the music. Let's talk to that.
But we use sight reading for learning all the time. So if you got a new concerto, you know, you look at it. Now there, we might not play it, but we'll read it all the way through and kind of mark the spots where we're going to, you know, have to commit suicide because it's so hard. And that's what we do there.
Okay, so advice for your students, besides learning music this way, learning just hardcore sight reading, how do they learn to sight read?
I tell them to start with pulling out second movements of any Mozart, sonatas or quartets, any of the violin parts, or Beethoven sonatas second movements, because the rhythms are very goofy. And if you can't read them and see where your beats are, it's going to be an interesting sight reading session for quartet. So that's what I make them do.
Now that makes perfect sense with all the ornaments, the mordants and the trills and everything. And the pages can be black with rhythms. It makes sense that those are the best things for sight reading if you think that rhythm is your focus. But what about violin etudes? Do you use those for teaching sight reading as well?
You know, and then we do an etude a week. And that in essence is a sight reading chore. So if they go through all the etudes for violin, which is about 7-8 books, then by the end of it, they've suffered enough sight reading that they're reasonably adept at it. But they don't draw that parallel. They don't realize, oh, I learned that etude in an hour, so therefore, you know, I should be able to sight read this in a couple of minutes.
Sorry, we had to cut that one short. This time we were actually met by the conductor at the pit door. So we ran into the pit and we finished Swan Lake, the fourth act. That's it for this week, and I want to thank you for listening to Uccello Rondo. A special thanks to Charles and Rachel for helping us out. You can go to the show notes at uccellorondocast.com, and you'll see some information about the Stegmans and their special violin boot camp. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting live music.